Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Online at owlstalk.co.uk, you're listening to Owlstalk FM.
Hello, all. Welcome along to the Owlstalk podcast. And for the next couple of podcasts, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. And we're essentially going to be flying out to Malta to chat to a chap called Stephen Smith, who's a Sheffield Wednesday fan. And he set up Malta Owls and also a brand new supporters club bar in a place called Bojiba in Malta. And so we're going to fly out there and have a chat with Stephen and also a few Wednesdayites that live on the island to find out what life's like as a Wednesday fan slap bang in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. So join us, won't you, as we fly out to Malta to go and meet with the Malta Owls.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, even. My name's Stephen Smith. Born and bred in Lancashire, but born up as an owl. My father is an ex-Sheffield who moved over to Lancashire in 58, but brought me up watching the Wednesday, and all my family are owls. But yeah, that's me, basically.
Fantastic.
And just to paint a picture of where we are, we're literally on some craggy rocks near the Blue Lagoon. So we've got
Blue Grotto.
So we've got, you might be able to hear the sound of the sea in the background and the odd tourist and visitor and even native Maltese people coming down to the seaside and the coastline to come and have a day out. We're recording this on a Sunday, I think it is.
Yeah, Sunday.
We're going to do a trip around Malta, and we've already been to a couple of places, so we'll talk you through them in a second. But first of all, just explain to us kind of the how this Malta Owls thing came about. Sheffield Wednesday fans are all over the globe, and we've got little pockets, and this is one of them. So how did that happen?
Well, basically, I've been coming to Malta since the late 70s with my parents, and I obviously got a great affinity with the island. And then my father moved over here in 2006. Unfortunately, he's passed away now. But then about just over 12 months ago, me and my partner Dawn decided we wanted to make the move to Malta to live here. My children have grown up back in the UK. Dawn's have as well. So December 2017, we decided to move to Malta. Sorry, 2016, sorry. Yeah. Decided to move to Malta, and then we moved over here in June last year, June 2017, on the 2nd, and decided to bring a bit of S6 with us. My father's ex-wife still lives here, and she has a bar called Scotch Corner. And obviously, being a Wednesday eye, a mad Wednesday eye, I just basically said, can we open a Wednesday supporters club? And she said, yeah, why not? So I brought over with me a number of flags. We're on our way back flags from the club shop. Had a banner made up as well saying Sheffield Wednesday Supporters Club, Bojiba, Malta. And we're taking it from there, basically. And, you know, even though I moved over here to live in Malta, I still have my season ticket back home in the UK. I actually got that prior to moving out here. And my son, a keen Wednesday night as well, who's 17, he's coming to every home match, every away game as well. So we're keeping in the tradition, keeping in touch with everything back home. But more importantly, with the Wednesday Supporters Club over here now, every game we watch live through iFollow.
Yeah.
So basically what I've started to do is, which people have probably seen on a lot of the Wednesday forums, I'm advertising, basically saying, come down to the Scotch Corner, Sheffield Wednesday Supporters Club, to watch the games all live. Come and enjoy, have a few beers with us. And it's taken from there. And basically, just a couple of weeks ago, like giving an example of how it's growing, we played United, and ironically, just before the game, some United fans had come in the bar, said they were going to come down and stop us bouncing, but guess what? They didn't turn up on the day. Surprise, surprise, all mouth. But no, that night we had between 10 and 12 Wednesdayites turned up for the match. It was great. Then the following week when we played Cardiff, exactly the same number again. And it's growing all the time. I keep putting, like you said, things on Facebook. And people are commenting saying they're going to come over in February to watch the games. Or they're going to come over in March. Or they're going to come in May. Where are you? We want to come down and visit you.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. And it is taking off. And I think as we go forward, it'll get even bigger and bigger. You know, with the exposure and because of who we are, Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, the testament to that is that the fact that I'm sat here now is from Owlstalk is that I've obviously seen what you're doing and just thought I would nip over for a weekend, come and visit the bar and meet yourself and see what's going on so that we can hopefully join forces in some way and spread the word in both ways, you know what I mean, about Sheffield Wednesday fans and about the bar and the supporters club. Are there many, would you say there's many resident Sheffield Wednesday fans on the island and on the island of Gozo or just north?
Well, yeah, it's amazing actually. It's, since I've been putting the advertisements on, you know, Facebook and so on, the people have been commenting, not just from the UK, but people over on the island. I mean, like I said, the supporters club is in Bejeeba, and I know at least 10 of us in the Bejeeba area who come down here. In fact, the late Evie Bejeda, obviously I met up with Evie when she was still over here, obviously, when she was alive. And she actually told me again how many Wednesday nights were here. Yeah. It is going. There's people on Gozo as well who follow Wednesday. I'm even having comments from a number of Maltese people who said, oh, I didn't know there were Wednesday supporters club here. And they follow Wednesday, and they're starting to come down. In fact, there's a gentleman called Carmel, he's 70 years of age, he's been watching Wednesday he sported Wednesday since the 60s. Very interesting guy, and he explained to me how we came to follow Wednesday. And basically, I don't know if people remember the old Shell petrol tokens, we used to have the football team on them.
Yeah.
Well, he was at school this one day, and he wanted one of these tokens off this Maltese lad, and this lad gave him a Sheffield Wednesday token. And he thought it was a joke because he'd never heard of Sheffield Wednesday. And then he picked up the Malta Times on the Sunday, English football results, and he saw Sheffield Wednesday. And from that day on, he's been a Wednesday eye, and he's got a scrapbook. He's got everything. Fantastic. The place, like the question you've asked there, Neil, are there many Wednesday nights on the island? Yes, there are, and it's growing. And it's only going to get bigger.
That's great. And especially as, like, I would say that, like, obviously you've been going a while, but it's still relatively in its infancy,
Yeah, it's definitely in its infancy. I would say we only started it up in June.
Yeah.
And the growth has been overwhelming, if I'm being perfectly honest. I just, like I said, I did it for my piece of Essex, basically, because I don't want to miss it being living out here.
Yeah.
Yes, I've still got contacts back in the UK. With my lad going every week, home and away, watching Wednesday, and friends, North Wales, Owls as well, you in there. He goes everywhere with my son. But I just wanted just to keep Sheffield Wednesday alive for myself more than anything, and it's gone, but it's growing over expectations.
It's good. Just a little bit of relief just at the moment, because that guy's just got a spool out of his bag. I thought he brought a gun down to shoot us in his big bags. So let's rewind right to when you were, I guess, a youngster growing up and what have you. Like, talk to me about your history as a Sheffield Wednesday fan. So over the years, what have you loved? What have you hated? What have you seen?
Well, like I said, I started going to Hillsborough early 70s with my father, going staying with my granddad as well in Sheffield, and my aunties in Shire Green. And obviously at a young age, my dad basically drummed it into me. He didn't hit it into me, he drummed it into me. And I just started coming, and then when I got to the age of 15 and I'd left school, that is when it really took a hold on me. That is when I was going home and away everywhere watching Wednesday. Every game was an away game, effectively, because I live in Bolton. Yeah. The 83-84 season for me was a fantastic season, because, like I said, I went everywhere. The last game of the season, Cardiff City away, which was, let's just say, a very interesting day, let's just say. I wasn't in the Wednesday end, I was in the Cardiff end, because I couldn't get in the ground. But no, it was a great day. But I think one of the most important games for me, which I always remember and always sticks in my mind, is the 79-80 season.
Yeah.
Blackburn Rovers away on a Tuesday night down at Ewood Park. We were sat in the Blackburn end, couldn't get tickets for the Wednesday end. There was 9,000 Owls there. We went 1-0 down. This Blackburn fan said, don't worry. I wasn't worrying. We won 2-1, so me and my dad and my brother were jumping up and down. But that was the first time I can really remember the famous Wednesday song, and I felt more like singing the blues.
Yeah.
And it was epic. I mean, there's 9,000 Wednesday fans singing it at the end of the game. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That game stands in my memory. One me and Neil spoke about previously as well was the 4-4 against Chelsea.
Absolutely.
You know, went out to the ground when it was 4-3, then we heard a roar, and we run back in and saw Zico put the ball in the back of the net, 4-4.
So many fans left early for that game. So I remember with 3-0 up, and then Paul Cannavale came on at half time, and then Mickey Thomas just tore us a new one. And then obviously 4-3 down from 3-0 up at half time is like unthinkable. But then the ground emptied a little bit, and you were one of them.
Yeah, but I went back in. I must admit, I mean, I can never understand why people leave the ground too early. Yeah. I really can't. Because the game's not 90 minutes, it's till the final whistle. Yeah. Whether it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes of injury time, yeah. you have to stay to the end. Okay, don't like to go on about this particular game, but it just shows you should stay till the final whistle. When we lost against Man United 2-1, with the famous Brian Kidd and Ferguson running on the pitch, yeah. I was sat in the scoreboard paddock with United fans, and I couldn't believe it. But that just shows you the game is only over when the final whistle's blown. You must stay to the end.
So, as a Sheffield Wednesday fan in Bolton, did your friends and neighbours know you were a Wednesday fan, and how did that go down?
Well, to be fair, a lot of respect from them, because I'm not a Man United fan who sits at home. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan who goes home and away, and mutual respect from all my fellow football fans in Bolton. A lot of them are Bolton Wanderers fans, and they would never ever try and put me down, because they know I'm a Wednesday fan through thick and thin. I've been home and away. I went to Aldershot in the League Cup on a Tuesday night when we won there. Carlisle on a cold December evening when we lost 4-2, and I remember Mark Smith scored Wednesday's, I think it's the 4,000 league goal we'd ever scored. I think I may be wrong. Mark Smith scored it, but no, got a lot of respect from the fellow fans from other clubs.
Good. This is quite nice here, isn't it? Thanks for bringing us down. So this is called the Blue Grotto.
It's the Blue Grotto, it's a lovely place, little lovely inlet. So we just sat on the rocks now, overlooking the sea. There's a couple of boats going down to the Blue Grotto. Just had a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Me, Neil, Becky and my partner Dawn, and they're just sitting overlooking the sea themselves on a chinwag.
It's nice watching these boats go by. I mean, we're in January still, and it's what, like 20 degrees, and it's sunny.
About 22 degrees today. It's not always like this, obviously, but when it does come out, it's lovely.
So so what made you move back to Malta then?
Well, the weather and the beer. It's all, like I said, it's always been my dream. As a young child coming over with my parents, I've always wanted to come and live here. And once my children got to an age where they'd, flown the nest, so to speak, then it was a time to make the move.
And what was it like the day you made, was there a particular day you made the decision and you thought, let's just go for it? What was that like?
No, it was around about October 2016. Me and Dawn had come over here, we got engaged, and we were just talking about it, and he said, let's do it. And then we spoke to my father's ex-wife, Christine, who still lives out here, who runs the Scotch Corner, and we just said, we're definitely going to come. And she actually mentioned there was an apartment came up available in the same block as where my dad and Christine lived. So we were interested, so we spoke to Dawn, we said yes. So I flew over the Christmas for 2 days, sorted out the contract with the landlord. And then I came back out in January, February, March, April. Then we made the move in June.
Christmas itself is not like a typical Sheffield Christmas, I'm guessing. It's not snow and freezing cold and heating on full blast.
No, it's not. I'll paint a picture of the Christmas Day. 17, 18 degrees, 11 o'clock in the morning, clear blue skies, not a breath of wind. A bit like today, Neil. But no, it is different, but... You know, it's just another country. You know, Malta's very religious, so they do celebrate Christmas in a big way, which is good, which is very, very warming in some respects.
Literally.
But then you've got Boxing Day, and again, you've got all the football on over here, and that's great in itself. So that's a bit like England, really.
Is there much appetite for sport and football?
Oh, they love the football here. They really, really do. The biggest supporters club on the island, it's not Wednesday yet, but it will be very soon, is Man U. Apparently, they've got the biggest Man United supporters club outside the UK here on the island. So there's a big following of Man U. But English Premier League, they love it. They love the Italian Football League as well. I said the prime example for me was when England played here in September. The amount of England fans over here were fantastic. It was a fantastic day. Everyone were laughing and joking, getting drunk, and generally having a great time with the Maltese people as well. We then went to the game, which was great in itself. But the funny thing was, prior to the game, I went into the shop to get a T-shirt made up. Say Malta Owls and the Wednesday logo on an England badge on it. I was talking to this guy about a couple of things. I noticed all these England shirts, and they had Wednesday badges on it. And there were 10 of them. And then he showed me they'd made a canvas up, and it said SWFC with the old Wednesday Owl on, and it said Anvil, and that's what this young lad was called. So anyway, goes down to the ground, obviously I'm in the Maltese end, and who walks by? These three women and this young lad. with his Sheffield Wednesday top, England badge with a Sheffield Wednesday badge on it. I started talking to them, and they came over on holiday. Yeah. Big Wednesday fans. There were a gang of them, 10 of them, and that was great. It was great.
I've started package holidays or something coming across for like a Wednesday experience away from home because this is can't recommend this enough. I mean, I've only been here 2 days and I'm absolutely loving it. And for those that have not been to Malta before and not thought about it, I would recommend putting it on your radar, because like I say, I was sat here in January and I'm wanting to take my jeans off and jump in the sea.
Push you in if you want. Battle load your phone so it won't fall in. Malta's a lovely place. It's a lovely island. If you've never been, come over and try it. But what I would say is, if you do come to the island, don't just stay in the holiday resort. Yeah. I mean, where we live is a place called Bejeeba. It's a man-made holiday resort, basically. That isn't Malta. You've got to get out. There's lovely places to go to. It's like Neil said here, we just sat overlooking the sea at the Blue Grotto. It's stunning. We've been up to Rabat and Medina today, having a walk around the Silent City. It's a stunning place. There's so much to see for such a small island. It's amazing. And people said there's no beaches here, which is a load of rubbish. There are beaches. Yes, you've got to get on the bus to get there. Excuse me for saying buzz. That's how we say it in Lancashire. Buzz, B-U-Z. But no,
we'll get onto the bread cake debate in a bit.
And tea cake. There's lots of things to see on the island. Just come over here. You'll love it. You'll love the experience.
So today you've been really kind and generous, to be honest, and took us on a day trip. So we're visiting a few places. This current place, I'll be honest, is probably my favourite place in the world already. But we've been to Rabat first, and then was it Medina?
Yeah, Medina. The next door to each other.
Yeah, and then there was one point where we were kind of in this old city, and we walked up to the huge old walls, and then you literally could pretty much see the whole island. So it gives you a perspective on just how close everything is together. Whereas, like, I've got lost over the last couple of days walking around these little side streets, but in reality, how big is Malta?
It's 27 miles long, and I think it's about 40 miles wide at the widest point. So it's only a small island, but you've got another two sister islands. You've got Camino, I think it's just one hotel on the island. It's got the Blue Lagoon there. It's absolutely stunning if you love swimming. And then you've got Gozo, the sister island. Again, it's a nice little island. Different to Malta, it's not spoilt like Malta is. It's a lovely island.
Yeah. Not McDonald's.
Oh yes, there's McDonald's. Yes. Oh yeah, yeah.
We've
got Neil actually trying to think all the pastries today. Let him tell you about them. They're stunning.
I did. It was like I would say, yeah, filo pastry, so flaky pastry, and inside I had the peas one and the ricotta one, and remarkable, but so cheap.
Yeah, 30 cents. You know, 30 cents. UK probably cost you 1.50. And a cup of coffee for 50 cents as well.
We've not even got onto the skull prices yet, which is, that's another story we'll do in a bit. But so, being a Wednesday fan, right out here in the middle of the Mediterranean on a small island, is there any kind of downsides to that? Or do you get any twangs of, like, wanting to be at Hillsborough?
Well, the downside is obviously, you know, you've got your family back home. We miss the family, as you'd expect, but we're only a 3-hour flight away. Yeah. I could live in St. Ives. It'll cost 6-7 hours to get there. So, put in perspective, it's not far.
Yeah.
Obviously, I miss going down to Essex. I miss the smell of Bovril on match day. I miss going to the matches with my son. You know, my son went to Bramall Lane and he sent me a text before the game saying, "Dad, you know, it don't feel right. This not going to the match with you."
Yeah.
You know, but hey, still here. Still a Wednesday. I always will be. I'll have a season ticket again next year, even though I won't be going to the matches. But hey ho.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk us about that, because, like, you're living in Malta, and like I said, three and a half hour plane flight away, not really getting to the matches, but you're still a season ticket holder.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, obviously I'm going to go back to the UK and watch the odd game every now and then, but my son, he's got friends, they'll go with him to the match. I've got my brother, he's a big Wednesday night, he goes to the game, he uses the season ticket as well. So, you know, he's got to keep it going, because sooner or later I'm not going to be able to get in that ground, because it's going to be full, because we're going to be back at the Premiership top six, you know.
There you go.
let's talk about the history of Sheffield Wednesday and what it means to yourself, and some of the players you've seen over the years. So let's go for favourite players, I guess, all time favourite players that you've seen live.
Well, obviously there's numerous players, but the main one for me, the ultimate professional, Roland Nielsen, best right back I've ever seen. He always gave his all. I remember when we played, was it the League Cup final, the FA Cup final? He'd played an international game a couple of days before and he came back and he gave his all. He didn't mourn, he got on there and he gave 110%. For me, Roland Nielsen, closely followed by a guy who he gets vilified by lots of England fans, and that's Carlton Palmer. Yeah. You know, what we'd love to have him in the team, like someone like him. Yeah. Up and down the park. He put his tackles in. He scored goals. He scored an hat-trick against QPR, if I remember rightly. Yeah. I remember being there at the day. And then obviously, likes of John Sheridan, people like that. It goes without saying, really.
Do you remember that Colton Palmer goal away at Everton where he scored a header from outside the box?
Yeah.
It went in off the bar, behind Neville Southall.
Yeah, I was stood
at the bottom at the park end, Park Lane end there. I remember that night, yeah.
What a brilliant goal that was. Yeah. What a goal that was. We seem to have a run when... you know, after Nielsen and before Nielsen, of quality right backs. We had Mel Sterling, Roland Nielsen, Dan Petrescu, and we just seemed to be spoilt at right back at that moment in time, again, over that period.
We were spoiled. I mean, what would give now for a decent right back? Don't get me wrong, Hunt and Palmer do a job, and that's about it. Yeah. But, you know, I'd love to have another right back like them.
Absolutely. So, classic games, we've spoken about a few. Have you had any favourite away games or experiences at away games that you can remember?
Aldershot League, and we won 8-0, 8-9-0, I can't remember now. That was great. I drove over. I remember going to the first leg at Ilswick with 0-0, and I said to my old man, I said, "Dad, I'm going down to Aldershot for the second leg." He says, "You must be bloody stupid." But I drove over my Ford Cortina, parked up near the ground, locked my keys in the car. And being a Ford Cortina, you could open the door quite easily. So we got the keys out, and obviously I went down to the ground. It was fantastic. What I found amazing at that time was you went through the turnstile.
Yeah.
Wednesday fans were behind the net, and there was a stand down the side there.
Yeah.
And the police let you walk underneath that stand, walk to the other end where there's no terracing at all. It's like a big park.
Oh, yeah.
I found it surreal that you could walk from your away end through the Orme End into a park. But that was a great night. There've been some great nights. Somewhere we've been hammered, somewhere we've won. I mean, Everton, when we lost in the FA Cup after all the replays.
Yeah.
You know, okay, it was funny when we lost, but it was one of those. You know, but no, there's been some great games, home and away. There's numerous ones, you know. But hey, at the end of the day, whether they're good or bad, I'm a Wednesday fan.
Yeah.
And like, in terms of football grounds, obviously Hillsborough is going to be a favourite, but have you been to any that stick out in your memory as being like that one different, or like your favourite away experiences?
Oh, favourite away ground. A lot of them are changing. The old Highbury, used to look the old Highbury, used to enjoy going there. Tottenham, when that used to be down up in London, that was fantastic. Yeah. Wimbledon, well, that was a shithole. Sorry, it was a bit of a dump, that place. But that was a great day out.
Yeah,
I remember going to Millwall a couple of times.
Yeah,
when you used to stand in that away end and you used to have the rotating spikes. Family day out. But they were the great times. They were great days. I mean, QPR away, when you used to stand on the terrace behind the net, going in the pub near the ground, meeting up with QPR fans, having a few beers.
Did you ever sit up in the away end, up in the corner in the old bit, like the old where they were, like all old steps in the stand and stuff?
Sorry,
at Loftus Road at QPR.
I've sat in the top tier.
Behind the net. It was a strange thing, that, wasn't it? It was all different levels and platforms, and a bit like being in some rickety old church or something. I don't know.
Yeah, again, old grounds, nice grounds,
yeah.
Traditional grounds, prefer them. Yeah, I mean, Neil mentioned early on, was talking about what were my thoughts of moving away from Hillsborough. It's a funny one, it's a hard debate. You know, I'd love Hillsborough to be redeveloped. In fact, we were talking about the designs which Lee Stafford did.
Yeah.
You know, prior to the award of the World Cup to Russia.
Yeah.
That if they could do the ground like that, it'd be fantastic. To move away, it'd be hard. It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It would, absolutely would. So let's bring you up to present day then. So we've currently just signed Pelo Pessi, and we've got a new manager, Jus Luhukay, and he's off to as we're speaking, he's off to a flyer. So I think we've won 3, drawn 1 or something like that. Well, that's quite some record since old Carlos left. So talk to us about like the last few seasons, how you see it.
Well, the last few seasons, I mean, I was a happy clapper, contrary to what a lot of people think. He was a waste of time. He wasn't. The guy gave us a fantastic first season. Superb, you can't fault it. Second season, we're flattered to deceive, to be perfectly honest. We got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't perform against Huddersfield, as we all know. It was just shocking. And I was one of those, we've got to give him this season. But obviously, it hasn't panned out well. I know we haven't had a lot of injuries. We've had a hell of a lot of injuries. But his time was up and he's moved on. And now, obviously, you hear all these things of allegedly what was going on within the club and they weren't training properly and they'd all lost respect for Carlos. Well, if that was the case, well, the club had to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But hey, he's gone now. Thanks for the memory, Carlos.
Yeah.
Wish you could have took us to Premiership, but you didn't. But now we've got Joss, whatever you want to call him. Yeah, he's come in, and what I'm liking, he's doing something which all Wednesday fans were screaming out Carlos to do, play 5-3-2.
Yeah.
And now we're doing it.
Yeah.
But he's playing the youngsters as well. And, you know, it just shows you we have got a wealth of talent at the club, and it just needs to be used. If we don't use it, we'll never know.
Yeah,
and it's just great to see. And fair play to the guy. He seems like he's brought a bit of stability to the club, to the team. I mean, you just hear some of the things what some of the players of Boyd has said and Reach has said. You know, that says a hell of a lot for me. And the future looks bright.
So we still essentially got the whole entire first team out unavailable, and they're due to come back as well.
Yeah, and you know, when they all come back, you know, potentially we have got probably one of the best squads in the division. We've just got to get them back. And I just think at the moment, you know, the transfer window, it's a funny one, because do we go out and splash the cash and bring players in? Because if we do, we're going to even have more players.
Yeah.
You know, because when all the other guys come back, they're all going to be there. We're going to have too many players. So
yeah.
I think it's a hard one at the moment for Joss. But I think the future's bright, maybe do.
So we're spending the day and then going for beers.
Oh, yes.
It's a big boozy finale, but talk to me about some of the places that we've been today and where we're headed.
Yeah, well, we started off early on this morning, went to Udina, Rabat. That's the old Silent Sitter. A beautiful, stunning place, very, very quiet, very picturesque.
Yeah.
A bit eerie, to be perfectly honest, but it's a lovely place. It's one of these places you've got to come to when you come to Malta. You've got to go there to say you've been.
Yeah.
And then was walking around the streets of Rabat, and you could see all the little the orange trees, lemon trees, grapefruit trees. Just a lovely place. And then obviously we ventured down here to the Blue Grotto, and so we just sat on the rocks now. The sun's glistening on the sea. Beautiful, a beer apiece, haven't we?
Yeah.
Just had that. And then we're going to take them down now to Valletta. I'm going to take him to Oliver Reed's bar, the pub.
Right.
So we're going to show him a few sights down there. Again, it's a lovely place, you know.
The local people of Malta, the actual Maltese guys, are just, they're so friendly, aren't they?
Yeah, they are friendly. They're very friendly. They're a funny breed in the sense that sometimes you think they're shouting at you, but they're not. It's just how they are. They talk very loud.
Yeah.
But no, they're lovely people. They are a lovely bunch of people. Yeah, you get the obnoxious one, but hey, you get that wherever you live.
Yeah, and this is Sunday, so has that got any kind of significance for life in Malta? Is it a day of relaxing with families? Or?
Well, if it had gone back 20 years ago, I would have said yeah, because it is a very religious island. But I would say it's not as religious as it used to be, but it's still religious.
Yeah.
I mean, where the Scotch Corner is, there's a church next door to it.
Is there?
Yeah. When we go back later on, there'll probably be a mass on about 6 o'clock, and all of a sudden you'll think, where have all these people come from?
Right.
They're about 200 to walk out. So, but no, it's Sunday generally is a place of rest.
Yeah.
But I've noticed more and more that a lot of the shops now are staying open longer and longer. So the day of rest is now changing. They're moving with the times.
All the time that you've been coming to Malta, has it changed in the time that you've been coming over?
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, lots of things have changed. It's become, how can I put it, more westernised, if you want. What I mean by that is that, you know, the sanitation's improved a lot. There's a lot of better hotels. The infrastructure on the island's getting better. It's still a long way to go. You know, and the cars is the main thing. Going back 20 years ago, all the cars on the island were all about 30 years old.
Yeah.
And now they've all been replaced with all the new cars and so on. But no, it has changed. Has it changed for the better? In some ways, I would say, yeah. But in other ways, no. There's a lot of building going on, and it's detracting. It's taking away the character of the island, and it spoils it. But that's wherever you live.
And in terms of, like, the coming months and years ahead in Malta, what's your plans?
Oh, well, I've got a big day in October.
Yeah.
I'm getting married. Me and Dawn have decided to tie the knot at Palm Beach. So we're looking forward to that. So, but the coming months, I'm just hoping to enjoy life, take it day by day, enjoy the sun, enjoy the beer, and grow the Sheffield Wednesday Supporters Club to be the number one here. Oh, and just to let you know, I don't know if you're all aware of this, Adolf Hitler tried to take the island back in the Second World War. He didn't succeed. Man United are over here at this moment in time trying to succeed to be the biggest supporters club on the island. Sheffield United came and failed, as usual, but now I'm here and I'm making it work. We are going to be the number one on this island where Adolf couldn't do it, Man U couldn't do it, and neither could Sheffield.
That's awesome. And obviously started to become like quite active on the Facebook groups, the Sheffield Wednesday Facebook groups, which is great. And the bar's open. Is it open pretty much all the time?
Yeah, the bar's open 7 days a week. In the winter, during the week, it opens at 1 o'clock and then closes roughly about 11, 11:30, depending on how many people are in. Obviously, this time of year, it's quiet.
Yeah.
But in the summer, it's open from 12 till half one, 2 o'clock in the morning, depending on how many people are in.
And I've been there like last 2-3 days, and it's like sports on the TV, stuff like that. Really, really friendly, warm welcome, which, again, thanks for that, because like, coming over from Sheffield in January into a strange bar to meet a stranger, effectively, that we didn't know each other until then, because I just surprised this one on you, just jumped on the plane and flew across to see what it was all about. Really friendly. So, like, what's your message to any Wednesday fans that are listening to this and that have seen your posts on the Facebook groups and stuff about this Wednesday Supporters Bar? Is it all-inclusive, kind of friendly place?
Well, it's obviously a very friendly place. Everyone's very welcoming, very open. We'll open with welcoming arms. We've got a lot of Chelsea fans who come in the bar. Great guys. And they think it's fantastic, you know, that we're getting a bar. And it's the banter more than anything. But what I would say to you, if you're thinking a long weekend away, come over to Malta, come down to the bar. Come and watch the match with us. It's a great day out, you know. We'll have a few beers with you, have a sing-song. You know, just come over, it's great. You know, we just want to grow the bar.
Yeah.
We just want to make it the number one sports club on the island, if not the Med.
And obviously useful that the club has launched the iFollow service, I'm guessing, because that then opens up all the matches. And we've seen it with like the New York Owls, for example. They managed to show all the league games, particularly, live. And I'm guessing that all the matches are live on the screens in the bar that on iFollow.
Yeah, all the games are live on iFollow. We did have a bit of an issue, though, with the FA Cup game for Carlisle. We couldn't get that on because we couldn't get a stream anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the games are streamed live. And even if they're not on iFollow and they're on some of the other foreign channels, we'll even put it on that as well. So
here's one for you. Because like when I was coming over, I didn't know where to stay. So like Bujiba, is it where the bar is? We plumped for that in the end, but we were thinking of somewhere like Valletta or Salima.
Yeah.
Again, if someone stays there, because of the size of the island, it's not that far away anyway, is it?
Well, nothing's too far away. You know, the main tourist areas really are Bujiba.
Yeah.
And St Julian's or Patcheville.
Yeah.
Patcheville is more for St Julian's is more for the, well, I would say the young ones, you know, the 20 to 25 year olds who want to go and have a rave and get 60 shots for 19 euros, and that's what they are. It's called the Bellini. If anyone's ever come to Malta and you want to have a stag weekend away, go to St Julian's and go on Google and put Bellini Bar.
Bellini Bar.
You'll get 60 shots for, it's €19.95.
Good grief.
Sounds like West Street Live, that does. Jesus.
No, this Bujiba's a nice resort. It's more of an older person's resort or a young person's resort, in the sense I'm about the young children.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of little bars, lots of nice places to eat. St Julian's, like I said, it's more for the older people. But there again, if you're just like doing a bit of shopping, go to Salima.
Yeah.
You've got your Marks and Spencers, you've got your Zara, you've got your Monsoon for the ladies. But then you've got lots of little bars there as well. And in fact, when you're going into Salima, if people have been to Malta, you're walking up past Zara. the sign saying SWFC. I thought when I first came to Malta it was Sheffield Wednesday Football Club. It's not. Salima Wanderers Football Club. And they're playing blue and white, ironically.
Yeah, we'll have to take that off them then. So to find the bar, I've walked around the side streets over and over and over, when in fact it's literally just off the main road at the beach, essentially.
Right. If anyone knows Bejeeba, if you was to look at the sea from the square, you would turn left.
Yeah.
You would go past the Bay Diner.
Yeah.
And now there's a new development being built, which where the old McDonald's used to be. And on your left-hand side, you'll see a shop called Ginger's.
Yeah.
You turn left, the signs of Ginger's, and then it's fish right.
Yeah. There. Easy peasy. And it's the Sheffield Wednesday supporters bar, run by yourself and the Malta Owls. Yeah. And that's like that's where everybody meets. It's a bar called Scotch Corner. Yep. Just so nobody's confused, it's the actual name of the bar is Scotch Corner. It's a little green bar currently on the outside, and tables and chairs outside on the streets.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the bar is actually, I don't own the bar. Yeah. I just actually run the supporters club from there. It's my father's ex-wife who runs it with her new partner Dougie.
Yeah.
He's Scottish, hence the name Scotch Corner. But no, they were, like I said, kindly let me set up the supporters club. But yeah, it's just around the corner. It's a friendly bar. You'll see the chairs outside. You'll see me Wednesday banner, which I've got out there saying Sheffield Wednesday Supporters Club Malta. But yeah, nice bar. I'm up and coming very shortly. I'm going to be getting some T-shirts printed with Malta Owls on. So if anyone wants to come over and they want to purchase a T-shirt, come and get one.
Fantastic. And I guess the message would be, if any Wednesday fans are coming out to Malta, obviously the first thing is head to Bejeeba and check out the Sheffield Wednesday Supporters Club bar, especially if there's a match on, because like you can obviously get together with Wednesday fans and watch the match together. But another message is to bring a little bit of Sheffield Wednesday over with them to put in the bar and put on the walls.
Yeah, if anyone's got any old pictures or any old programmes even, because I'd frame the programmes and put them on the wall. Any old shirts you're going to throw away, bring them here. I'll put them on the wall. You know, the more memorabilia I get up on the wall, the better it's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, so, more exposure, basically.
So at the moment, again, we're talking about things in its infancy, so there's plenty of space on the wall to fill.
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of space to fill. I mean, like I said, at the moment, I've got three flags up. I've got a pennant up, I've got a couple of shirts, another couple of shirts to put on, I've got some scarves, I've got my old scarf from when we went to the Millennium when we beat Hartlepool, I've got that on the wire as well. But yeah, we're starting to put little owls in as well, so obviously we've got to put the owl in so people know what it is. Yeah.
And then I guess not the final, the final point I want to make is that we're going to finish off there in a short while after we've been around the island, but you've got me onto Skull, which... I never thought in a million years I'd be back on Skull, but if you drink, when I first arrived, I was drinking Chisk.
Yeah, Chisk, that's the lot. Chisk, that's the Maltese native brew. It's a nice drink, it's a nice lager, it's like lager. In fact, you won't be aware of this, it's just won an award for the best Pilsner lager.
Has it?
In Europe.
Yeah. It's really nice. But then again, I was drinking that and he said, yeah, have a try of Skull. And I laughed because it's like in England, Skull is like probably on the bottom rung of the ladder of lagers of choice, I would say, but it's very different out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Skull like you get in the UK. Skull in the UK is about 2.4%. Over here, it's 4%, the same strength as Carling and Carlsberg. In fact, it's actually brewed by Carlsberg.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a nice drink. It's a lot cheaper as well. So in our bar, it's only €1.50 a pint, €1.50 a pint, whereas Chisk is two. So getting there, a few more beers.
€1.50 a pint. Crikey. Now I understand where the hangover came from, because I cannot remember going back to my hotel after that one. Listen, thanks a lot. We're going to get travelling around the island and we'll hopefully stop off and do another one of these and do a part two or something in a second, or when we get to the bar or whatever. But thanks a lot. How can people... we'll cover this off again later, but how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I've actually set up a couple of Wednesday web pages saying Sheffield Wednesday Sports Club Malta or Maltese Elves, but I'm going to be in the next week or so taking them down and just putting a new one up.
Yeah.
So it'll be specific. But at the moment, what I'm doing, a lot of people may have seen me on the Wednesday Sing or the Worldwide Owls or whatever they may be, and I keep putting posts on there about all the games which are live, so they can message me through that, which a lot of people are doing. In fact, I had a guy on yesterday who's going to coming over for when we play in the next round of the FA Cup and also for the Millwall game, which is midweek. He's going to come in the bar to watch the matches, so people are getting in touch with me all the time that way. But very, very soon I will set up another page, but obviously I'll let Neil know about this so he can obviously let everyone know on Owls Talk.
Yeah.
And then he can message me and get in touch with us that way.
Which is a club what I did. And then obviously flew over on Ryanair for what, 75 quid, and that's it. Bob's your uncle. Here I am in the sunshine in January. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. Can I stay with you forever?
Yeah, you can stay, mate. No problem. I told you, you're more than welcome to stay.
Right, let's get cracking. We'll have a head round the island, a fantastic island of Malta, with these lovely people that have took us out for the day. We can't thank them enough for that. And then we'll head back to the Sheffield Wednesday supporters bar for plenty of beers.
Yes, oh, definitely. I need a few beers. A bit too warm now, isn't it? A bit thirsty. It's more skull.
Online at owlstalk.co.uk. You're listening to Owls Talk FM.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.